I am good.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the St. Lucie County Fire Board of Commissioners meeting this Wednesday, June 17th at 3:00 PM. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Hudson?
Present.
Commissioner Martin?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Leonard? Commissioner Clasby?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Johnson?
Present.
Mr. Jenkins, can you come provide the invocation, please?
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, with humble hearts. God, that you will guide us in this meeting, give us the wisdom, what to say, and how to understand it. I pray, God, that you'll bless everyone that's here today and give them a safe trip to the house. Thanks. Amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Proclamations and special presentation. We have House Fire Safe.
Good afternoon, Madam, Board, Chief. I'm up here today to speak about a house fire that had a rescue involved. And as all you know, that's what we do. And we are the only people that can do that in those conditions. We sometimes have help from other agencies, which we greatly appreciate. And it doesn't happen every day. So when it does happen and we actually make a save or a grab, as some people call it, we like to recognize those people and their accomplishments. So on March 29th, they had a fire, and on crews arrived on scene. They had smoke showing, declared a working fire. Crews directed by PSL PD that there were screams heard in one of the windows. And through our training that we do, we have a thing called VES, vent enter search. So we look at a window that can also be a door. So if we know that there's someone near that door, we use that window as a door. Crews were directed to do that process while other crews were directed at the front door, which is our normal means of entrance with the hose line. The crews that went in the window ended up rescuing, I think, three dogs. And the crews that forced the front door and entered in with the hose line found a victim on the floor, unconscious. They immediately grabbed the victim and removed her from the structure and provided, you know, ALS care in the rescue truck. And what I'd like to talk about a little bit on the slides, throughout the country and the world, some other countries are participating in this firefighter rescue survey. So everybody has the opportunity to register with this. We actually have it on our target solution. So anytime we make a rescue, good or bad, we document it. And it asks time of day, location, how the victim was rescued. And each slide, so this one will show you where most people were rescued, bedroom, family room, hallway, and other. The next slide will show you victim reports versus total recorded rescues. So a lot of times people say no one's in there or we don't know. We always assume someone is in the structure, whether it's vacant, abandoned, occupied, or even if the people are in the front yard saying we're all out. There's been many recorded times where the neighbor goes in to help their neighbor. Now they become the victim. So you can see there, reports of victim, yes, reports of no, and no report at all. So the gray is actually bigger than the no. We don't have any information. So it's a good thing to just always assume someone's in there. And next one. Sorry, I can't really see very well too. So this shows the different crews. So the blue is a primary, so it's gonna be a primary search. So one of the tasks on a fire scene is to search the structure, and that is their primary objective. Now, if you look at the next one, the largest one is orange, that's the attack crew. So you can see the secondary time on that previous slide, orange is the next biggest slot. So the guys and girls with the hose line are actually finding almost the same amount of people as the search crew. And then this is time of day. As you can see, the varying time of days, I think the orange is 3:30 in the morning from what I can remember, I can't read it from here. But obviously, we're rescuing more people at night because they're sleeping. They're not expecting a fire to happen in their structure. So today, I'd like to recognize everyone that was involved in that call that's here, but especially two people that made the rescue themselves. And they were rescued through the front door. It's Tyrone Smith and Mansfield. if they could come up here today. Did Tyrone need to make it? Okay. Well, Mansfield was on the crew with Tyrone, and you guys, from what I understand, you came in the front door with the hose line, and you found a victim on the floor, and you brought her out to the rescue crew. So I'd like to thank you for that. Congratulations on your grad.
Thank you.
I'll read it to you real quick. March 29, 2026, your quick thinking and rapid response were crucial to the success of saving a life. Your professionalism, training, and commitment to service were demonstrated under challenging conditions, resulting in a life saved. And this is why we train for this kind of stuff. Seconds matter. We teach every time these guys get dressed, every time they mask up, everything they do, every little second adds up in the end. And if you're trapped in a house full of smoke, hold your breath for a minute and tell me that doesn't matter. That's why we practice so much. So I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Mr. Manfields, I would like to know how long you've been with us on the fire department. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I've been on the department for 5 years now. I'm in my fifth year now. It's been a journey trying to get here, but we made it here. And I believe everybody who becomes a firefighter, it's a blessing, and it's God's calling. So,
yeah. Are you a local product?
Yeah, I grew up out of Centennial. Yeah.
Centennial, okay.
Baseball out there for, okay. 4 years. And Port St. Lucie, man, that's me. So I'm out here, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have, Chief, our highlight of that. And that may be a great recruitment for other young people at Centennial. And our marketing team will be on that to tout this young man's experience and service to his fellow constituents here in our great county. So
yes,
thank you, sir.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can I bring up the rest of the crew for a photo?
What station is this?
It was a combination of 16, 10, and 17, and some FTOs. So on a residential structure fire, you're going to get four engine/ladder companies, two rescues, FTO, two battalion chiefs, and they all play a role in it. The FTOs provide the medical care in the rescue truck, and this person that was rescued was flown down to Miami, and the last we checked, she was in a burn center. It's been a couple weeks since we checked on her.
All right. Thank you again.
That's good.
We don't have any promotion recognition today. Commendations, Chief?
Just a few.
Okay, thank you. Approval of the minutes from the May 20th meeting. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Additions and deletions to the agenda. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Approval of consent agenda?
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, public comments. Anyone like to address the fire board?
Listen, Ms. Martin, this is, what we get, 3 minutes? This is going to be maybe 3:30, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, 3 minutes to 15 seconds. And I've got what I'm going to ask, I'll give to her. Ask that to them. If you tell me to shut up, I'll shut up. Ready?
Bye.
On the record. With the record, my name is Michael Jenkins, 2204 Grand Oak Avenue, Fort Pierce. I'm a 32-year veteran of the fire district. My last 10 years as a captain at Station 1, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. A couple of days ago, I became aware of the firings and the disciplines that just happened out of Station 1, and it really upset me. So I did a real dive into all these facts of this case, and I've got facts that I want to ask you in the form of a question to the fire district.
I have several questions for this board to consider about the legality of what you've already authorized and executed. Did the investigator attorney violate attorney-client confidentiality? The attorney's client was the St. Lucie County Fire District, not the employee who provided the information. Did the investigator violate an express promise of confidentiality? Yes. A critical fact is the fire chief explicitly told the employee, paraphrasing, your identity will remain confidential and or you will remain anonymous. An authorized representative of the fire district made that promise and the employee relied upon it. Because of this breach, revealing the employee's identity has caused serious concerns regarding fairness of the investigation, violation of agency policy, due process issues, and retaliation concerns. This becomes a legal violation because of the exact wording and circumstances. Could there have been a whistleblower issue? Florida's public sector whistleblower protections generally focus on employees who disclose violations of the law, gross mismanagement, waste of public funds, abuse of authority, substantial dangers to the public, health, or safety. Hazing in a fire station could potentially qualify if it involved misconduct or policy violations. This alleged hazing incident occurred approximately 2 years ago. The employee was promised anonymity by the fire chief, and the employee cooperated. The employee was then identified during the investigation. The employee received a 48-hour unpaid suspension. Was this suspension imposed because the employee participated in the hazing conduct? Yes. But similarly, situated.
I'd like to let him continue, if we could.
I'm about
talking
done.
To him, talking to the chair.
The only caution I would give is he seems to be speaking on something that's in the middle of litigation. It's going through the grievance arbitration process.
Correct.
So I would definitely encourage the fire board members not to comment on an open active investigation.
Well, not only that, but we have it right in front of us for us to be able to read.
Madam Chair, I'd like him to continue. If she had that opinion, she should have stopped him before he started.
Well, that is a board decision. It is not one person's decision. So, board, need to hear from you because this is an investigation, and if it is open, that we should not be opining or making comments with regard to it. That is well known.
Madam Chair.
And I'm not going to make comments about it because I'm not going to get myself in a position where I'm called in and have to testify as a witness in an investigation. That is not my role.
Madam Chair, this becomes public record.
It already is public record.
So our rule is 3 minutes, and I don't want to make an exception for this particular thing.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to address the fire board? So you don't want to oppose public comments? Comments from the union representative? Afternoon, Mr. Lowry.
For the record, Joe Lowry, we've been in this community for 45 years, probably going on 46 if everything goes right. Thank you for letting me speak this afternoon. Even though I wasn't a firefighter, I worked for the power company for 34 years, so I know what it is to be in a group like a fire department because you get super close with these guys. There's nothing like it. But I'd like to say this today, if I can. I want to start by saying that I'm glad to see that more transparency from the fire board and more opportunities for the public to watch discussion and decisions being made. These decisions involve taxpayers' money, and the community deserves to know how their money is being spent and how the fire district is being operated. Our county commissioners and city council members conduct their business in public meetings, and I think it's a good thing that the fire district now has moved for transparency between accountability and how it should be, even though you guys moved to 3 o'clock. I would suggest that looking at the meeting times, though holding meetings at 3 o'clock on Wednesday or Tuesday makes it very hard for working people to get here unless you're retired. So I'd like to see it moved at least to 6:30 or 7 like the city council does and the county commissioners. I could stand here today and talk about the lots of things have gone on between behind closed doors and over the years, because I've been there, I know. But I'll save that for another day. What I do want to say is that some personal decisions are being made, including discipline and terminations, deserve to be looked at. From what many people see, there seems to be a different expectation and the different consequences for different firefighters. That's disappointing. This is my opinion. And I hope that under new leadership, those kinds of concerns would be behind us. The reality is that people are paying attention. Firefighters are talking to community members and are watching people care about what employees are being and how they're being treated fairly. No one should feel like they have to worry about their rank, their promotion, or they know in order to be treated equally. I challenge this board, y'all, to listen to what current firefighters are experiencing and past firefighters and focus on doing what's right for them and for the community. That's what leadership is all about. And I want to thank you for your time. Thank you.
Good afternoon, board members. Hope you all have a good afternoon. I want to start off to let you know where we're at right now. We did start negotiations. I believe it was about probably 2 weeks ago. We're going to continue to establish negotiations. Our first meeting went, I expected a little different, but we'll hope to continue to work through that. Secondly, we are all concerned on our side, too, with the tax reform, and we have our eyes on it. So there is some contingencies that we're aware of on our end through the FPF where before it gets to the ballot, but we're definitely being cognizant and understand the concern that all citizens of the county have. Last thing is you are aware we have potentially, you know, five arbitrations that potentially could be affecting us, and it could carry heavy financial burden for both sides, the fire district and through the local 1377 also. We're not there yet. We've established the grievance process and hopefully make some headway through that. But that's kind of our status on our end. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Okay. We have no public hearings or unfinished business. We'll move on to new business, live streaming of fire board meetings. Chief?
Madam Chair, fire board members, for the record, Brett Sumblad, Chief Information Officer. I just wanted to talk about the topic of live streaming of fire board meetings. I know that at a previous fire board meeting, it was brought up that a member of the public requested that we would have meetings made available for them to view online, live streaming, of course. And I was directed to look at some options to see what was available for this to be possible through the fire district. My division, we looked at a few different options to see what was available, and we found that after going through our review that Microsoft Teams would be the best solution for us, more or less because there was no additional cost to us, and we also had, you know, in our existing environment, we already have that available to us. One of the benefits of this is that when people would join, we would actually post a link online so that they would be able to join at that time. We'd also post the recordings afterwards, so if they didn't have a chance to you know, view it live, they can actually view it at their discretion. We would also have people, as they were joining, we would have them muted. They would not be able to, you know, have any chat comments or things of that nature. It would just be for viewing purposes only. We would also have the option to change it if necessary, but that is something that we would just, you know, kind of lock down initially and then go from there. So really there's not only just no financial impact, but I would just like to recommend that Microsoft Teams as a platform for live streaming at the fire board meetings and authorization to begin implementation at the next fire board meeting and kind of go from there.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I read it. I just have one general question.
Sure.
Will this be closed captioned as well so people can read maybe if they can't see? I'm just curious about that. And I don't know ADA if that triggers.
Now.
You know, that's a very good question. I know that when it comes to Microsoft Teams, I know that I don't think it does closed captioning, but I can definitely look into that and see if that is something that's available.
From an ADA
requirement.
Yes, I know what you're, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
We
had to face that. So you're going to have to face it eventually.
Yes, exactly. I know we have to do that with our website too to make sure it's ADA
compliant.
Right,
right, right. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, are they going to be streamed live?
Yes.
So when you go on to the homepage of the fire district, it will be easy to find?
Right. We are actually currently developing a new website that we're hoping to go live beginning of July. But for right now, our current website, we'll make sure that the link is available. And we will probably have some direction to go to that directly because it's something new. We want to, kind of highlight that. And we'll probably work with our PIO in order to make sure that we have some kind of, public announcement to know that this feature is available. Yes, we do have a Teams account.
No, I mean the viewer.
No, they don't have to have a Teams account. Basically, right, when you click on the link, it'll say you can either open it through Teams or you can just open it through your web browser. So as long as you have internet access and any browser available, you'll be able to watch it.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
I agree it needs to be ADA compliant. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have to backtrack. So I would say to check that out prior. Mm-hmm. I know that the Transportation Planning Organization does this at every meeting, has the Teams, and it is recorded. So that happens. Mm-hmm. Question, because I know that you had said everybody would be muted. Thank goodness, because I don't like online where you hear all the background. And no chat.
Correct.
Is a big plus. Now, during going through the agenda, when we have public to be heard, would we be asking if anybody that is attending via the live stream, do we have to offer them to be able to be heard?
We don't do that in the city.
No.
We're on YouTube.
Okay, so they would need to request or send in their questions prior to the meeting if they wanted them to be included in the record. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to double check that.
You have to be here to have public comment.
Right. I'll look into that, but I know that we made exceptions. The governor had executive orders during COVID where people could submit their questions in advance, but I don't know that exception would apply in the normal course of business, I think. But I'll research and give you a definitive answer. But I think if a member of the public wants to address the board or open to the public, they would do that in an open meeting, not via a live stream. But I'll get the
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
So with this is something that I've kind of gone back and forth on as to whether or not, this board should have things live streamed, whether it be on social media, Facebook, YouTube, just the website. And I think that a lot of the current events that have been taking place, transparency is never a bad thing. We should be proud of all of the decisions we're making on this fire board. So far, I am. And I think that it's nothing to hide. The more people that view it, the more that understand some of these stories that happen in the beginning of the heroes that work for us. And, I think that there's nothing that would prevent us from putting it on Facebook, even from a Teams meeting. St. Lucie County live streams to Facebook. It's on St. Lucie TV, a real TV channel. They port it over to Facebook, and it live streams. It utilizes Facebook's closed captioning that's built in. I mean, these are things that are very easily done. By anybody that's familiar with anything computer related, you can get it done very easily. I'm a big fan of this. I wish that I would be able to go back and watch meetings 10 years ago, and kind of see why was that decision made. These are the sorts of things that we're making public record here, and it should be something that's readily available.
So for me, I'm not going to support anything being on Facebook. The city moves from Facebook because of the horrible nature of social media to YouTube, and so I would support either Teams or YouTube because YouTube does allow for the closed caption and the ADA compliance. That's what so we moved to that. So either the Teams method or the YouTube method is something that I would support, but not Facebook.
Okay.
So what do we need to give staff direction on how we're moving forward?
So we need a motion with regard to live streaming either on a platform
How soon?
Correct.
Madam Chair? How soon can you start this process, like get it going live?
Our goal would be having this at the next fire board meeting.
Okay, so fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd make a motion to start live streaming our meetings on YouTube and the website to start with. And maybe we can explore others as we venture into this.
For a second.
So clarification, that is to go with the recommendation of using Microsoft Teams, having a link on the website, and then working in conjunction with YouTube to possibly meet the ADA requirements. Is that correct?
Yes.
Correct. We'll make sure that Microsoft Teams would be able to show closed captioning, and if not, then we would make sure we have another solution provided. I know we looked at a couple other options that would probably do so, so we'll make sure that we have something available and ready.
And just, we did have a motion in a second here, but just to clarify, we currently live stream our county DRC meetings, the planning meetings on Teams. There's a distribution list that goes out even that you could sign up for to get notified when it goes live and that sort of thing to add to your calendar. So Teams actually has a pretty robust ability to broadcast.
Any other discussion? I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may interrupt, yes. We have our other rescue hero here.
Oh, okay. Great.
He was out making rescues. So I'd like to bring Tyrone Smith up.
Sure.
You missed the whole spiel. We had a whole presentation for you.
We did a whole presentation.
I know him.
So Tyrone was actually stepped up that day, if I'm not correct.
Awesome.
The officer in charge of the group.
With him and Mansfield and a couple others. And, you made the decision to be ready and go in there, and you saved the lady. Hey,
thank you.
I know you don't want to be a hero, but
okay.
I'm going to read this to you real quick. March 29, 2026, your quick thinking and rapid response were crucial to success of saving a life. Your professionalism, training, commitment to service were demonstrated under the challenging conditions resulting in a life saved. And I'll tell you the same thing I said earlier. We practice this all the time. We talk about seconds matter, not just minutes, because seconds adds up to minutes. Hold your breath for a minute. Tell me it doesn't matter, right?
Amen.
Congratulations. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Sir.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
In the same fashion, Firefighter Tyrone? Back to the microphone. Tell us a little bit. Yeah, you're not going to get away. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We'd like to know the previous, your comrade that was here earlier told us he was a graduate of Centennial. So we want to know that. I personally want to know that. And kind of
okay.
A little bit about yourself.
All right. Oh, you will put me on the spot.
No problem kicking through a door, but a few minutes on the microphone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. And face this way, sir.
You, talk. Okay, you want me to face
yes,
this
yes,
way?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, all right. Well,
how long you been on the fire department?
I'm in my eighth year right now.
Okay, awesome.
So I'll be eight complete in January. I'm actually native from Fort Pierce.
Okay.
Raised in Indian River County, bumped back into county now.
Okay. What high school?
Vero Beach High School.
Vero Beach, okay. Well, that's recruitment for Vero. Gifford, okay, no problem.
I mean, what?
You take from it, yeah.
You take
go up there and bring people back here.
I mean, I knew I wanted to be St. Lucie County. Mm-hmm. Heard a lot of good things about it. So now I'm here.
Okay.
Put my application in, got hired quick, not looking back.
Right.
Looking forward to the future. That's
all
it.
Right. Great recruitment video.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Chief, comments?
Yes, ma'am. I want to briefly address the ongoing discussion surrounding district administration, leadership, and our recent workplace investigation. As fire chief, my highest legal, moral, and fiduciary duty is to ensure the absolute safety, health, and operational readiness of our workforce. When allegations of workplace violence, hazing, or physical safety breaches come to light within our firehouses, it's my administrator's obligation under federal law to take them seriously, investigate them neutrally, and address them decisively. To that end, we have recently experienced some very difficult adversarial discussions behind the scenes. I want to be entirely transparent with the board. When my position and my contract are repeatedly threatened simply because I refuse to look the other way, I will stand my ground every single time. It is deeply concerning to sit in a meeting where there's a clear dismissiveness or seriousness of workplace hazing and where personal family connections to an individual involved appears to cloud the objective reality of severe safety violations. My responsibility is not to play politics or protect personal interests, it's protect the men and women who wear this uniform I have on right now. We have utilized elite, independent, third-party legal minds to review these files precisely to ensure absolute neutrality, transparency, and fairness for everyone involved. The formal, contractually permitted grievance tracks are now underway to handle any disputes arising from these matters. That established labor channel, not the political floor of a board meeting or behind the scenes in another room, is a lawful venue for these processes. Moving forward, my commitment to this district, to our frontline crews, and to the community remains unyielding. The establishment of our dedicated mental health day stands as proof of how deeply I believe in a safe, supportive, and healthy work life for our personnel. I ask that this board respect the charter boundaries, allow the independent legal process to work, and support our officers and firefighters as they focus on their daily mission.
Thank you, Chief. Court Treasurer, comments?
Thank you, ma'am. The reports in the packet for this meeting were all generated. Their system generated reports are all generated using the new software. We went live in early May, so pretty big milestone there. At the end of this month, we will end another quarter, and so at the July meeting, I'll be bringing another analysis. We've been doing that. We did it after the quarter end in March, and anticipate another budget amendment based on that analysis. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Sable?
Just briefly, as the board's aware, we're entering our budget process and TREM is on the horizon. Vicki did send out a reminder email about the two tentative 501 meetings that we'll have during the budget process. So everybody can get that on the calendar because I know you guys are pulled in a lot of directions here in the TREM process. So I wanted to make sure you had those dates and times in case there was any conflict and could hopefully address it and resolve it.
Thank you. I know I received the email.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Comments from board members?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Quick question. So in a conversation I had with Chief Lee a while back, you mentioned that, I just want to make sure it's still current information, that we're stopping capital projects. Is that correct? Because if...
Yes, sir. Right now with the pending vote in November, ceased all capital projects in which we are not currently under contract.
So that's important to know because, you know, our fire plan review has issued letters of concurrency to developments that are actively in the process, specifically some that are coming before our county commission board very soon, and they're operating under the assumption that they will have capacity for fire service based, and that's a basis for their reasons they think they need to be approved. So is the fire district going to update letters of capacity and concurrency for developments?
Yeah, we're going to have to. We had a couple of developers reach out already about a couple of projects or sites, but we'll be getting with meter risk reduction and make sure that everybody understands what we're doing.
Right, because these are highly legal meetings that will be coming up, and you know something like that is important, substantial evidence in the public hearing that could lead to a denial of the project without us being sued for hundreds of millions of dollars. So I would appreciate that. In addition, I have a letter that I have written, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. Chief Lee, as a member of the St. Lucie County Fire District Board of Commissioners, I have a fiduciary, legal, and moral obligation to provide oversight of the fire district and to ensure that the organization maintains the highest standards of professionalism, accountability, and leadership. To effectively execute this duty, I must rely on the competence, integrity, judgment, and professionalism of the fire district's executive leadership. The relationship between the fire board and the fire chief requires a mutual respect, professionalism, and an understanding that while the chief manages the day-to-day operations of the district, he ultimately serves at the pleasure of the fire board. During a meeting held in my office on June 15th, 2026, attended by yourself, Attorney Kim Sable, Assistant Chief Gonzalez, and my executive aide, Christine Westenhaver, and myself, I raised questions regarding matters currently under discussion within the fire district. During that conversation, a professional disagreement arose regarding the authority of the fire board and its role in reviewing administration actions. During that discussion, you called me ignorant, raised your voice, and became visibly agitated, and ultimately departed the meeting after being asked to leave. Attorney Kim Sable and Chief Assistant Chief Gonzalez and Christine Westenhaver were present and witnessed this interaction. Reasonable people may disagree on policy matters, administrative decisions, or the appropriate interpretation of governance issues. Such disagreements are expected within any organization. What should never be in dispute is the expectation that senior leaders conduct themselves professionally, respectfully, and with appropriate self-control when interacting with members of the governing board. While I acknowledge your operational knowledge and your contributions to the fire district, the role of fire chief requires more than just technical competence. It requires sound judgment, emotional discipline, professional boundaries, and the ability to engage constructively with the elected officials charged with the oversight of the organization, even when disagreements occur. After reflecting on the events of June 15th, 2026, I have concluded that your conduct fell below the standard of professionalism expected of the fire chief of St. Lucie County Fire District. The behavior displayed during that meeting demonstrated poor judgment, a lack of professional restraint, and a disregard for the decorum expected of the fire district's highest ranking employee. In my view, the conduct was incompatible with the standards of leadership, temperament, and the professionalism that the fire board has a right to expect from its fire chief. Leadership positions require the ability to remain composed under pressure, accept scrutiny, and respond professionally when challenged. Those expectations apply equally to all members of this organization, including its highest ranking employee. The authority entrusted to the fire chief carries with it a heightened responsibility to model professional behavior when interacting with members of the governing board. This letter shall serve as my formal expression of disapproval regarding your conduct during the June 15th, 2026 meeting, and I am submitting it for inclusion into the public record so that members of the fire board may consider it when evaluating confidence in the current leadership of the fire district. Chief Lee, I'm really disappointed in your actions in my office. I have always had a great respect for you, and I've had many people that have worked with the district for a long time tell me that you're a good guy, and I've seen it. I have, but I just don't know what exactly I saw in my office, but I can't get it out of my mind. I don't know how we could have a professional relationship after that. You've had days to call me and apologize. Not only that, you operate independently with subordinates in your office. How am I to understand that you don't treat your subordinates in a similar way that you treat one of your seven bosses? Thank you.
Any other public comments? Or board comments, I'm sorry.
I'm going to lighten this up a little bit, and then I'm going to go into some more comments. Thank you to the firefighters that were just awarded and the accommodations. As most of you know, I have been riding with each station. I only have five more to go. And I am the white cloud. So I should have been there that day. You wouldn't have had a fire, maybe. I have to say that it's been very interesting. The camaraderie, the brotherhood, sisterhood of going to the fire departments and with the firefighters, the professionalism. I appreciate it. And yes, I rode with 10. Let's see. One of the calls was canceled and the other one was an assist. So I'll be back. But in my mind, I have to say it's great to be the white cloud because people are safe. Even though I want to see a lot of action sometimes, I'll just watch it on TV. But thank you. A comment was made earlier in regards to our meeting times. And there is no time that is going to be good for public meetings. The city has been through it. We did them at 7. We did them at 6:30. We now have 2. We do 1 at 1 o'clock, 1 at 6 o'clock. It's working. I don't know how long the fire district has been meeting at 3 p.m. I know that there a lot of people think that 8 to 5 is a normal work. But what about our medical? What about our manufacturers and our FedExes, our Amazons, our UPSs? They're 24/7. So it's very difficult to find the right time. And if it's something that is of dire importance, I'm sure that someone would make accommodations. So I did want to mention that because it's a very difficult situation, especially when there's so many involved for meetings. Now to the elephant in the room. There's always three sides to a story. This has been very painful and heartbreaking to know what we're all going through right now. It is very difficult. And the questions that I have, and this is just rhetorical, what is the remedy? There has to be some type of a solution and an end to this so that we can move forward. And I loved what Tyrone said earlier. He's not looking back. So we need to come to some solution and we need to move forward and do the job that is here in front of us. So with that, I wish everyone a happy Father's Day. And what is it? Another saying, this too shall pass, hopefully sooner than later. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
Comments by other members?
Madam Chair, yes. I will just say great nails. She's got great festive USA America 250 nails over there. I would like to also ask the board to consider for next meeting to just have a formal discussion on meeting times. I do concur, however, with Councilwoman Morgan, there really is never going to be a time that suits everybody. If you have them too early, people are working. If you have them too late, our older population, it's too late. They don't want to drive at night. So, however, I think it would be good for the board to just perhaps have a formal discussion on it. So I would ask consideration at the next meeting or meeting after. Also, a happy Father's Day to everyone. I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. Our family serving yours. I think we all know when you work somewhere, regardless of where you work, after a certain amount of time, you become close-knit. It feels like family. And it's tenfold in this environment when they're spending, 24 hours together, living together, eating, sleeping, rescuing lives together. It really, truly is a family. And when there's any sort of internal fighting, it's got broad-reaching ripple effects. And so, I just, quite frankly, ditto Stephanie is trying to find what is the solution, how do we heal and move forward and continue to serve our community with the passion for it that we know every man and woman in this district has. So, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So I was not going to say anything, but so a couple things. Number one, I thought I saw something about a ribbon cutting on a new fire station. That's coming up, right, Miss Vicky? Yeah. Right. Now, so we look forward to that because for me, it's growth opportunity in St. Lucie County, right? It's station 20? Is it 19? Yes, 19. That's my favorite number, right? I was there. And, you know, that means growth. That means opportunity. That means next man, woman, step up for leadership. We're going to need all of that rank and file, et cetera, et cetera. So on a positive note, I think that's always great. And I look forward to that ribbon cutting out there and that desire to step up for leadership. It's never easy. Leadership is tough. It's the loneliest position that you'll ever have in your life. But leaders know that. If they don't know it going in, they figure it out day one that it is a lonely, lonely place to be when you're in leadership. And so what I'll say is that as a person that teaches leadership, try to embody leadership, we will, as leaders, have these conversations. We will make the right decisions based on a lot of things that we all have come across our plate and all of the conversations we hear. But I was just be mindful that we need to be objective. And more importantly, we have to understand that this is a whole culture out here. We're in a cultural challenge right now, perhaps, at all of our organizations, at the county, at the cities. We're all in this cultural thing that we're going through right now. And it's only going to be more intensified as we get closer to November, because we're going to have to make some hard decisions. And so I look forward to that. I look forward to having those conversations and working with each and every one of you. And I look forward to us bringing our views and points. But I will just also say there was a reason, I guess, they got to 3 o'clock. We are all busy. We all sit on multiple boards. We come from one meeting to the next meeting. Some of us have office hours. So I think it's going to be a lot more of a challenge. And that's the part the public does not understand, is that we're not just sitting around. I'm on 4 different boards that meet during the week, as well as 3 commission meetings. And I look forward to my colleagues from the county tomorrow to meet with you guys as we sit down on the table with the county and the city of Fort Pierce to have how we grow that part of the county and city and work together. So I understand the public sentiment. I hear what you're saying, but it's not easy. It is absolutely not easy. And we're human too. We have to have somewhat of a life, somewhat. But we signed up to serve, and serve I will do. So thank you.
All righty. I just would like to say that the firefighter holds a special place in the public's eye, and deservedly so. And one of the things that we need to remember is that we need to deserve that affection and high esteem from the public. Every firefighter needs to do that. And so we don't want to let the public down, because it is a noble profession, and we have a lot of their care right now. So you don't want to do anything that smears that or takes away from that. And I think that's really important for firefighters, for the reputation of this district. I heard what Chief Lee said. He's going to hold to the highest standards of discipline, to not let the public down. And maybe that hasn't always been so in years past. But this is a profession that needs to make its own, its other firefighters do the right thing and make us proud, make the public proud. And I'm glad that we're going to have our meetings publicized now, videoed on Teams, because, and that's even more of a reason to tell our story about what we do and how we serve the public and how we feel, because every single meeting we have a hero up here who gets the awards that he or she deserves. And even today at the breakfast, it was the telecommunicators that got the awards. So there's a lot of good stories for this district and for this profession. So what I would like to say is I think we should get past anybody not holding up the highest standards of this profession.
Thank you. All right, so everyone in this room and pretty much everyone in this entire county knows that I don't sugarcoat, I don't play games, and I don't mean to. And I'm known to be very straightforward and direct. So I'm going to continue to be very straightforward and direct. In the 16 years that I've been part of this organization, I have never seen and witnessed the things that have been going on recently, especially over the past year. Our team has spent a lot of time dealing with these investigations. These investigations have been sent out by outside parties, outside law firms who have looked at them very objectively and have made determinations and recommendations. And in addition to that, we are spending tens of thousands of dollars on taxpayer money on these things, and we're getting basically the same result. Yes, there's been a couple things that need to be corrected, and there's always continuous improvement that has to be made and will be made, and those things are actually ongoing. But this is at a point where it's just ridiculousness now. And I don't think the public would take very kindly, and I don't think the public would appreciate, because this organization has the highest level of respect in this entire county and in this entire region. We pride ourselves on our professionalism, of our dignity, of our integrity, and our honesty. And while the public may complain about other first responders, that doesn't happen in this county. But I'll tell you what, when this stuff gets out in the public, and I don't care how long something has been done, or whether it was 2 years, whether it was 6 months, I don't think the public is going to take very kindly to hearing that firefighters are hazing each other in fire stations, wasting taxpayer dollars when they could be doing other things that are more important. I don't think the public is going to take very kindly, no matter how long ago it was, that firefighters are in stations and killing raccoons. We don't need this tarnishment on our name. We don't need this tarnishment on our community, especially when we are held to the highest standards and have been as a respectful, professional organization. And frankly, I'm tired of it. How many people work in this organization, Chief?
Close to 600.
So if we're gonna continue to let this snowball, when the investigations have been done, they have been independent, and let the issues of a few take over the good work and the good nature and the professionalism and the integrity of this organization, then we're all going to be at fault for it. And as someone who's been the longest serving member of this board and the board chair, I'm just not going to stand for it. We are facing very difficult challenges coming forward. And in my one-on-one meeting today, I specifically asked, if this ballot measure were to pass, what does that look like for this organization? So let's be honest with each other and let's talk about it, because this is the stuff that is of importance. So, this measure passes the first year, $250,000 exemption, $21 million revenue loss to this organization. Second year, $34.8 $34.8 million revenue loss in 2028-2029 to this organization. We have $60 million in reserves. 20 of it is for capital outlay. That's $40 million left in reserves. Well, this is very simple math. If you add those two numbers together over a two-year period, we're looking at a $55 million loss with a $40 million reserve. That's the stuff that's important. This is the stuff that we're supposed to be focused on and how we're going to make sure this organization thrives, operates, and continues to serve the public at the very highest level it possibly can, especially since the fact that the growth, while it has slowed down a little bit, is going to continue, and we all know that. So I think we need to readjust ourselves here. I think we need to start focusing on what's important. We're going to have to focus on our priorities. We're going to have to focus on, if this were to pass, saving jobs and seeing what that looks like and how we are going to be able to continue serving our citizens at the highest level that they expect. I hope we can all start coming together and doing that, because that's what our community deserves. That's not what just the seven of us that serve here deserve, or anyone in this room, or our administration, or anyone. It's what our entire county and community deserves. And that's all I have to say about that. It's been very disheartening and disappointing. We have no determination of excused absences. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Madam Chair, before we finish, it sounds to me like this whole board does not have complete information, and I understand not to speak specifically about an ongoing investigation, so I'll just use generalities. But if a report has findings that were based on a coerced confession, based off the fact that the person was guaranteed anonymity and then they were outed and now face potentially life-threatening issues to their own person, that's an issue that this board needs to consider. I would ask the attorney to go ahead and send the Fort Pierce Police Department officer summary from, March of 2026 to the fire board, the reporting officer's narrative where he investigated personally all of the allegations. I think the fire board would find that interesting. I also think the fire board would find the recorded audio statement in the interrogation where the individual who provided the video potentially said that he would not have come forward had he known this wasn't going to be anonymous. That investigation should have stopped right there. Is the attorney able to provide that to the board? It's public record in Fort Pierce Police Department.
Okay, but I'm not Fort Pierce Police Department. But if we have it, I will get it.
I'll provide it to you.
Okay, and yeah, I'm just not aware that we have it. I'll certainly send out anything I can send out. I just haven't seen what you're talking about, so I'm not aware of it.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that this board does not have complete information. They don't understand why I'm frustrated right now, and I'd like them to know. It's hard to comment on something that you haven't seen, according to you. So let's just get it out there, read it, and then we can comment on it. Thank you.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
$152.
I just found out like an hour.
I'm on countdown.
Bummer, right?
Yeah, they're like 45.